We will continue with our Chaitanya Charitam Rita reading at the place where we have stopped, and we will extensively hear about two associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and what we can learn from their lives. It's a very interesting, I hope, for all of you. Wow! Yes! Murari Mahati Inha Shiki Mahatira Bhai Tomara Charana Vinu Aragati Nai. Translation. Oh, for those of you who have come and joined us, like our Kadamba Kanana Maharaj and others who have not been here on Sunday but who just joined this passage of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This describes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's return to Jagannath Puri from his pilgrimage through South India. And while he was in South India, the devotees had found him an ideal place to stay. That is, they found inside the house of Kashi Mishra a very secluded room called the Gambira. And Mahaprabhu is now going there in the courtyard of Kashi Mishra. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya introduces to him now all these new devotees, so to say, who have come to the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu while Mahaprabhu was in South India. Of course, there are also old faces amongst them, but they all are introduced now to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who lovingly acknowledges these devotees. And we hear now of the first set of devotees. This is Murari Mahiti, the brother of Shiki Mahiti. He is nothing other than your lotus feet. And the next verse introduces other devotees. Here are Chandaneshwara. We will be simply purified by hearing their names. Please say Chandaneshwara, Singheshwara, Murari Brahmana, and Vishnudas. They are constantly engaged in meditating on your lotus feet, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is a Paramananda Praharaja. Yes. He's also known as Mahapatra, and he's very, very intelligent. This is a very intelligent devotee. Purport. Praharaja is a designation given to brahmanas who represent the king when the throne is vacant. In Orissa, between the time of a king's death and the enthronement of another king, a representative must sit on the throne. This representative is called Prahararaja. This Prahararaja is generally selected from a family of priests close to the king. During the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Prahararaja was Paramananda Prahararaja. You can see Mahaprabhu's influence really spread to the high-class members of the society, the representative of the king. It continues, all these pure devotees serve as ornaments to Jagannath Puri. So this is human ornaments. Like in this Radha dish, we have also a few human ornaments. When we see them, they are ornaments to the project. What would be the project without so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so? Huh? So all these pure devotees serve as ornaments to Jagannath Puri. They are always undeviatingly meditating upon your lotus feet. The first devotee who is talked here about is Murari Mahiti. Now, before we start this discussion, we have to make a few things. Our youngest member is already very inspired to talk something. You have to wait for maybe another 15 years or so, then. Maybe if he becomes too stormy, you can give him a forum, maybe some birds, and he can preach to the birds already. Not like this. And I've seen a few devotees are very tired. This we must also correct quickly. I feel we have to open the window a little bit for our tired devotees. So now we can go. Few of us are mental. This will soon go away. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say such offensive words. The first devotee who is mentioned here is Murari Mahiti, the brother of Shiki Mahiti. This Mahiti family, you can say, consisted of three members. Shiki Mahiti, the oldest, then his younger brother Murari, and they also had a sister who was called Madhavi Mahiti. These Mahiti members of this Mahiti family are extremely dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, it is said that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had 3.5 very near and dear devotees. 3.5. Who could this be? This is Shiki Mahiti, Ramananda Roy, Swarup Damodar, and the half is Madhavi. This is the count, which was customary at that time. I believe that in the cultural setting of Northern Europe, this count is not always greeted very favorably, but that was the time, and that was the count at that time. Now, Shiki Mahiti's sister Shiki Mahiti was a dear servant of Radharani, and his sister Madhavi also. In Gauragona Desha Deepika, it is said that Shiki Mahiti was the Sakhi Raga Lekha, and Madhavi, the sister, was not someone less important. Please let us have no illusion about this. She was Kala Keli, as a servant of Srimati Radharani. Now, Shiki Mahiti served as something like a temple secretary, and it's very interesting what his specific service in the Jagannath temple was. He would publish a periodical, that is a journal about the glories of Lord Jagannath, and it would be spread all around. It was maybe something like the newsletter of in our Radha Desh community. We have a newsletter, I believe it's called Krishna Bhakti. Yeah, have I seen it correctly? Shiki Mahiti was like the secretary for this Jagannath newsletter. It's an old thing, and it was a glorification of Lord Jagannath. Now it's very interesting that Sikhi Mahiti had a great firm faith in Lord Jagannath, but his faith of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead was not yet born when his brother Murari and their sister Madhavi became devotees of Gauranga. He just could not imagine, Sikhi Mahiti, that this dancing sannyasi who's moving through the streets of Jagannath Puri with his followers and whose influence seemed to spread like anything was the same as Jagannath, his worshipable Lord, on the altar. He just could not imagine this. I believe some of us have thought about the question which we have raised a few weeks ago, where we asked the question, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for you? Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for you, Anandavada? And for Sikhi Mahiti, he was just a very influential sannyasi who seemed to spread his own movement. Now his brother Murari and the sister Madhavi, they were strong devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, Murari did not know anything than the lotus feet of Gauranga. And very often they went to their brother Sikhi Mahiti and preached to him, "Accept Gauranga as your Lord." Sikhi Mahiti says, "I have my Lord. He is called Jagannath." Do you know any other situation where great devotees have tried to convince their brother to accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Rupa Goswami tried to convince Anupama. Yes. He said, "You must know that the Lord whom you are worshipping has appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he is the combined form of Radha and Krishna. Please worship him." Now Anupama was a devotee of Lord Ramachandra, if I'm correct. Yes? And he tried the whole night to somehow change his face system. That, no, I will worship now Gauranga. But he could not. And in the morning he felt so desperate that his exalted brothers had preached to him, and he couldn't take this into their hearts, into his heart, that he was ready to commit suicide. "I can't believe in Gauranga. I better die." This was brought to the attention of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was extremely satisfied. He said, "No one should give up the Lord whom he is worshipping under any circumstances." And he wrote on the forehead of Anupama, "Ramadas. You are a servant of Ram. Stay there." It's very good. Now Sikhi Mahiti's story is different. One evening, his brother and sister came again to him, trying to work on him. Twisting his arm. And finally, Sikhi Mahiti says, "My Lord is Jagannath." And he felt tired of these discussions and dozed off. Like you would see during this lecture, our Jai Gopal will doze off 108%. Now, while Shikimahiti was peacefully resting. He had a most ecstatic dream of Gauranga. And I will tell you a little later about this dream. And then at one stage in the dream, as he was dreaming, all of a sudden he saw his brother Murari and his sister Madhavi. They were standing before the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they were somehow gazing at these lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then they turned to Shikimahiti, all in a dream, and said to him, "Wake up!" At this moment, Shikimahiti's dream broke. He woke up, and lo and behold, he saw his brother and his sister right before him. Remember, he had dozed off. And now he was back into the daily world. But this time, he had had the dream of Gauranga, which had totally made him ecstatic. He said, "Do you know what I dreamt?" His brother and sister said, hopefully something not offensive. "I dreamt something very ecstatic. I saw Gauranga Mahaprabhu standing before Lord Jagannath." Then he couldn't speak for a moment. He said, "Hari, Hari, Gaura, Hari, Gaura, Hari. I saw him entering into the form of Jagannath, coming out again of the form of Lord Jagannath, and again seeing him entering the form of Jagannath." At this moment, Murari Mahiti, the preacher, had an idea. "Let us all go to the temple of Lord Jagannath now." So Shikimahiti went along, still shaking in ecstasy. Madhavi was there. And as they were entering, they saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu standing and looking in Lord Jagannath's feet. Shikimahiti immediately recognized, "This was the scene I saw in my dream." And as he was looking, and tears of ecstasy were running down his face, he saw Gauranga leaving his place where he had darshan and going into Jagannath and coming out of Jagannath like this. Here's Jagannath. At this moment, he could not contain his ecstasy. He fell down. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned around and very joyfully said, "Ah, here is the brother of Murari Mahiti." And he went to Shikimahiti and he did what Gauranga often did in his manifested pastime. He embraced Shikimahiti, and anyone who gets the embrace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he just can't contain himself. The Mahaprabhu would spread his electric bhakti. This is how one scholar said it. In other words, it would be transferred by his embrace. He just embraced Shikimahiti, and Shikimahiti went ecstatic. And from that moment on, he became a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recognized his old servant and was very, very, very devoted to him, so that from that day on he's counted as one of the most important devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. Here you see Lord Jagannath. Just imagine Mahaprabhu having darshan of him, like he's there, standing there, and then going in and out. This would be really something, and we would have something to gossip about, which is useful for our spiritual life. We should gossip about these things. It's or better talk. Yes. So we will continue. After this introduction, everyone fell to the ground like rods. Being very merciful upon them all, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced each and every one of the devotees. So at this time, another great Gaura Bhakta comes. At this time, Bhavananda Roy appeared with his four sons, and all of them fell down at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here in the purport there is an information which I also have heard. Bhavananda Rai had five sons, one of whom was the exalted personality known as Ramananda Rai. You know everything. Bhavananda Rai first met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after his return from South India. At that time, Ramananda Rai was still serving at his government post. Therefore, when Bhavananda Rai went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went with his other four sons. Rai was still in South India. So that's why it says he came with four sons. They were named, please repeat these so that you can learn it, Vaninath, Gopinath, Kalanidhi, and Sudanidhi. A description of Bhavananda Rai and his five sons is given in the Adi Lila 10.133. Now this Bhavananda Rai and his five sons are very important personalities, both in Krishna Lila and in Chaitanya Lila. In Krishna Lila, Bhavananda Rai is Pandu, and his five sons are the five Pandavas. We know Ramananda Rai well, and his identity is given in that quotation which Srila Prabhupada refers to. He is none other than Arjuna, the Pandava. So you must know that between Krishna and the Pandava brothers, a very close relationship existed. And this relationship, of course, becomes visible also in the Gaura Lila. In other words, Lord Gauranga has also a very, very close relationship between Bhavananda Rai and his five sons, especially Ramananda Rai. You know, amongst the 3.5 devotees who are very, very, very important and confidential, Ramananda Rai appears as one of the members. But it is this very intimate relationship which will be looked upon and in a way almost questioned by one particular Leela, which I feel is very important for all of you. All of you means me included, all of us here. I will tell you this Leela in a second. So let us concentrate, focus. The Ujjayi breath. No. When Krishna appeared and had these 5 Pandavas around him, he would be very, very happy. Lord Krishna once made a declaration saying, anyone who is the friend of the Pandavas is my friend. And anyone who is the enemy of the Pandavas, he is my personal enemy. Hare Krishna. That's why you can see in the Mahabharata, Krishna proves this over and over and over again. So as Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he will also prove it, but in a very special way, which we will hear now. It is ecstatic, and I hope I can touch the strings of your hearts. First of all, I have to see that everyone is awake for this. Then we can speak of... I will wake you up if you sleep, because this is very important. So, one of the sons of Bhavananda Roy was Gopinath Patanayaka. He was King Prataparudra's tax collector, and once he did not supply the exact amount which he had collected. In other words, 200,000 kahanas. This is currency in conch shells. You know, they would not have gold, not only gold coins. I don't know if there were already gold coins around. They would pay in conch shells. 200,000 were missing. Imagine someone here in the temple owes you 200,000 euros. You would feel a little... It's a tense situation. So, Gopinath was also not 100% enthusiastic to pay these 200,000 kahanas. And one day something happened which is very dramatic. In great haste, people came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was chanting, and interrupted and said, do you know the news? Gopinath is on the Changa. Do you know what is the Changa? It's a platform. It's raised quite high, maybe up to the ceiling. And underneath the Changa, there are open swords which are put into the ground. So criminals are brought on the Changa, and then they are thrown, most probably they are bound, into the swords. must be very painful. A very painful death. So the news came, these people came, they all know Gopinath, and it was a dramatic situation. It was, imagine we hear, Ananda Varana is on the Changa. That means, you know, soon we will hear him screaming, even more intense than in the yoga class. If you want to hear Ananda Varana, the loud voice roaring, you must come to the deep low stretch. So Gopinath is on the Changa. That means he's just a few minutes before his death sentence. And they save him. He's a member of the family of Bhavananda Roy. All these are your old servants. Gauranga, do something. And the people explained to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gopinath, somehow 200,000 kahanas are missing. And you know what happened? He went to the king and said, I'm willing to pay, but at the moment I don't have this money. But I have 11 or 12 good horses. So the king had said, I can't estimate the price of horses, but my oldest son, he can estimate. So Gopinath brought the horses to the door of the king, and the oldest son was there to give his estimation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was listening very silently. He didn't say anything. And then Gauranga, imagine, we all know this, the son has an idiosyncrasy. Idiosyncrasy means you do something which is not very, very normal. He would, you know, turn his head like this and then look up the sky. So Gopinath, you know Gopinath, he's so strong in what he says. It's the problem started, the son said, your horses are this much valuable, and gave an underestimation of the correct price. Then Gopinath said, my horses have necks. They also have necks, like you have a neck. But they don't turn their heads in a crazy way and look up the sky. In this way, Gopinath seemed to say his horses were more valuable than the prince. This is an offense. Imagine someone would, I don't want to say such a thing to anyone of here, you know, this is a strong statement. My horse also have a neck. But they don't go like, oh, they are not crazy like you. The king's son was enraged. And he made politics. He went back to the king and said, this Gopinath is not willing to pay the 200,000 he owes you, but I can make him pay. And the king said, well, tax money is tax money. He has to give it. Do anything you can to make him pay the 200,000. In other words, the king's son spread a rumor, a false statement. Gopinath wanted to pay, but he didn't he was not flusses. He was not liquid. And therefore he just gave his valuable horses to later pay the correct price, but the king's son misrepresented him, and then he took Gopinath on the changa, and because he was so enraged, he actually intends to now throw him into the swords and kill him. And then he will go to the king most probably and say, well, he wanted to pay, but then he said no, and then somehow he was killed. I don't know how. Gauranga, said the people, do something! Your servant is in life's danger. Now, Gauranga, Lord Chaitanya said something very interesting. Well, if Gopinath is not paying the 200,000, what to do? He has to pay. A little later, in other words, he remained neutral. A little later, the people again came and they said, do you know what happened now? The king's men have taken Bhavananda Roy and his other sons prisoners. Gauranga said, what does Gopinath do? Gopinath is one of the sons who was a little bit more, you know, he was not so much after money. The answer was, well, he's sitting in prison and he is just chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This moment, Gauranga started to change his mood. He's the super soul of everyone, and he went into the heart of Harichandan. He moved Harichandan. Do you know who's Harichandan? He's a minister of Prataparudra. As far as I know, he's in charge of warfare. Harichandan went to the king and said, my God, the Gopinathas on the Changa, there's some vagueness, some misty things are going on. And he went to the king and said, you know, they are going to kill Gopinath. Do you know this? No, said the king, I don't know. I heard my son wants to get the money and Gopinath is willing. Yes, but somehow your son is very enraged. You have to stop and get Gopinath from the Changa. Next minute he's in the swords. The king said, go immediately and get him down from the Changa. We have to clarify this. And then everything was clarified. And then Gopinath came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, my dear devotees, I want to read what happened about the discussion which took place about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gopinath. You understand the situation? Gopinath had just been saved from the swords, from a death sentence. Gopinath had gone to the king. The king had said, I'm very sorry, my son has somehow brought you in the situation to kill you. Here, take a white silken turban upon you. You are honored, and we can talk about the money later, don't worry. And Gopinath then went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his head covered with the silken wrapper, and fell at the lotus feet of the Lord, and described in detail the king's mercy towards him. The king has excused me for the balance due, he said. He has reappointed me in my post by honoring me with this silken cloth, and he has doubled my salary. I was lifted upon the Changa to be killed, but on the contrary, I was honored with the silken cloth. This is all your milost. Milost means mercy. On the Changa, I began meditating about your lotus feet, and the power of that remembrance has yielded all these results. Struck with wonder by my affairs, the populace is glorifying the greatness of your mercy. However, my Lord, these are not the principal results of meditating upon your lotus feet. Material opulence is very flickering. Therefore, it is simply a glimpse of the result of your mercy. Your real mercy has been granted to Ramananda Roy, my brother, and Vaininath Rai, who chants all this. For you have detached them from all material opulences. I think that I have not been favored by your mercy. Kindly bestow upon me your pure mercy, so that I may also become renounced. I am no longer interested in material enjoyment. This is the important point I want to bring to your attention. And this is the important point where Krishna consciousness differs, in my humble opinion, from a religion. In a religion, you worship God so that He helps you to go safely through your material life. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, the ultimate goal, I mean, we may not be always there, we may just be approaching this goal, is that we wish to really only serve Krishna. Gopinath was not happy when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to intervene into his material life, so to say. I'm saying this in parentheses because these great devotees, we can't say they have a material life. It's a Pandava who has appeared. But they have their Leela, so that we can learn something from this Leela, and that the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Leela is enriched. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is acting as a great teacher for his devotees. And see, the purpose of Chaitanya Bhakti or Krishna consciousness is not to derive some benefit for a more comfortable material life from it. In other words, Krishna consciousness is not something which you can add to your life like a spice to make your life more interesting. No, Krishna consciousness is only working if you accept it in toto. That is, accept your position as an eternal servant of Krishna and serve him. Therefore, Gopinath, even after his life was saved, he said, I'm cheated. I didn't get your mercy, because he was dabbling around, you know. Hat ein bisschen mit dem Geld rumgeschoben, zu Deutsch gesagt. I can only say it in German language. I think you understand it. He was a little bit, schob ein bisschen mit dem Geld. I think you can understand what this means in Deutsch. You know, the schieben, you know, and it means. And Mahaprabhu in the beginning was not actually willing to do something, to intervene. Only when he heard that the other members of the family, Vaninath, who was only chanting and so on, then he started to do something as the super soul by inspiring the general Harichandan to rectify the situation. Mahaprabhu wants every one of his devotees to ultimately come to this standard of bhakti. And let me share this deep conviction in Mahaprabhu's movement with you. Ultimately, all the things which we still keep as separate interests, maybe we are money shiba, or we keep another interest and so on, they have to go. Mahaprabhu wishes this of his devotees because he wishes to bring them to the level where they can enter into another ocean. We are now in the ocean of samsara, and he wants us to enter into the bhakti rasamrita sindhu, the ocean of the bhakti rasas, the loving emotions in relationship to Krishna, and therefore he will clean us. When you want to stay in Mahaprabhu's movement, you need to know this, that Mahaprabhu will go for your little attachments at one stage. And if you're not giving them up, he will come and he will do something. And this was an intense situation. You must imagine, would you like to stand on the changa, you know, facing your material attachments? And some of us have been put on the changa. You know, when you go to the statistical list of the ISKCON population from its beginning to now, you will know there are devotees, a majority of the devotees, who had been put to this test. Will you let go of your material attachment? And this brings us to a very important point. If you are becoming an older devotee, you have to become more serious in your spiritual practice. In the beginning, it is sufficient to do this and that, to chant one round, and you may still have the white flute in your mouth. I heard this from one prominent ISKCON preacher. He compared the cigarette, he said, this is a white flute. It's an Indian devotee. I don't wish to say his name because some devotees will not like it, and then they might write an email and don't want to give, putting him into difficulty. It's funny. I mean, it's It's actually not, I mean, it's an interesting comparison, let us say like this. It's enough in the beginning to do this, and then when you're bhakta, it's enough to do so and so. But as you become older, and I'm saying this, don't be, believe me, my dear devotees, I'm here shaking. I'm not a very good devotee. I'm really not very satisfied with me and all, to say it at the least. Therefore, I'm shaking and sweating while I'm saying this. As you become an older devotee, you have to let go, or at least have to have a plan to let go, of a very realistic plan. Not that you become older and you accumulate more and more and more things which are really more of the material energy. My dear devotees, we are living in Radha Gopinath's other dham, the Goloka dham. Radha Gopinath are there in the form of Radha Madan Mohan. And there are many old trees in this forest. And I have seen many old trees have fallen down. Sometimes I've heard this when sleeping in Karuna Bhavan. A tree went down. Last time Lokanath Maharaj gave his Bhagavad Saptaha at the end, another tree just went, came down and went over the street. We joked with Maharaj and said, you have given a very nice katha, because at the end, a ghost in the original recitation, a ghost who hit in a bamboo tree was delivered. So maybe this was a ghost also who listened to the to your Bhagavat katha, and now at the end he has been delivered, and subsequently his tree body has fallen over the road. But it happens many times in Goloka Dham that old trees they fall, and there is certainly an environmental reason for this, you know, the acid rain and all of that. But I like to think about it in a more philosophical way. When a tree grows, he will develop more weight to his, in his body. And if he wants to keep standing and not fall, he has to dig his roots deeper into the ground. It's dangerous to grow, in other words, you could say it like this, if you do not dig your roots more into the ground. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, let us express it positively, because I do not wish a wrong conclusion to come here. It's important for those of us who are getting older to watch that their sadhana is very fulfilling, that their service is done from the heart as a loving offering to the Vaishnavas and the deity, that there is more attachment to Krishna, and that there is a genuine feeling of distance to the material energy. This is important. If you grow and grow in spiritual life, and you do not take care of this aspect, you might get in trouble. Because what is expected for the young devotee is the minimum, but because you are older and more weighty, there is more expected of you in a spiritual life. Now, I know in a multi-ashram audience, what I have said so far is meet with mixed emotions. The young brahmacharis will say, yeah, very good that Maharaj is saying this, more austerity, more depths, more study, God, God, God. And the grihastha says, yeah, some nice words for us, please. Not this old times preaching, Maharaj. Please, tune into the reality of spiritual life. My dear devotees, it remains a principle of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu movement, but there are different adoptions to this principle. We hear that as we are in the Grihastha life, we will most properly practice something which is more called Yukta Vairagya. You know, we will see the things of this world and take their relationship to Krishna. And in this way, many things are, the devotee uses many things in relationship to Krishna. But Yukta Vairagya only works if you develop some Vairagya also. And Vairagya will only come if you develop some love in your heart. See, you might practice something which is called virakti, that is saying no to the material energy. But vairagya is... Vairagya, you may practice something like vairagya, which is you say no. You, in other words, you have a good appetite on pizza and olive oil, and you say, no, really. My reason tells me this is not the right thing to take with my 40-year-old body and so on and so forth. But you really feel, oh, I really like this pizza, and when no one looks, I mean, I will make some arrangement and get the pizza anyways, and I will eat it alone in my room, safely locked, and so on. This is vairagya. It's an act of detachment which doesn't come from the heart, because the heart still wants. And virakti has also the same Sanskrit word, is a state in your heart where you feel from your heart, no thank you, I'm not interested in the material energy. Now how does this state come, which I think we all want, when we... This comes when you have love in your heart for Krishna. When you are in love with someone, you are not interested. You have a loving relationship. We hear in the yoga course, someone is in love in our yoga course, in a good way, Krishna conscious way. And he is almost unable to finish the yoga course because it's so much pulling. And although the yoga course is also very nice and there is a diploma waiting, but maybe the other pull will win the race. This is a natural thing. He can maybe even renounce his yoga diploma. It is possible that this is possible. So you can renounce the greatest things in material life when you bring your emotional life, dare I say it, or let us say it in more Krishna, in more usual ISKCON terms, when you bring your attention and attraction in safety, in the safe court, in the safe, let us say, harbor of Krishna Bhakti. This safe harbor of Krishna Bhakti is a very important for us as we become older and older in Krishna consciousness. Because then only we can practice educated renunciation, and then only we won't be put on the changa. Krishna, I'm saying it a little strong, I know. Then it will not be necessary to give us these intense tests, which are quite intense. So better you to go in this direction. So these were the two devotees which I wanted to discuss today. Shiki Mahiti, the brother of Murari Mahiti and Madhavi Mahiti, who became so convinced of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by Mahaprabhu's mercy, who showed him that he is non-different than Jagannath. Sei Gaura, Sei Krishna, Sei Jagannatha. He who is Gaura is Krishna, and he is also Jagannath. This is what this song says, which is composed by Vasudev Ghosh. And we also heard about this amazing leela surrounding Gopinath's, the testing of Gopinath Patanayaka, who at the end, of course, was saved by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and brought down to the safety. But the Lord waited. He waited and then last minute he came. Hare Krishna. So do you have any questions regarding... I don't think I can give much more information regarding the two personalities which we have discussed, but regarding the subjects. Hare Krishna. Badra Mataji. Padma Pravi, 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 yes, we say. Yes.
So you're saying that devotees who are abandoned and renounced won't need to experience these severe tests. But it might even be that if they do, wouldn't it might be that they won't experience it in the same way, because ultimately some devotees that are very advanced also go through some very severe experiences.
Yeah, yeah. That's a very good point. Bhadra Mataji says we have seen that devotees who are very, very, very advanced also go through some tests. And intense tests, not just the new devotees or not so advanced devotees who need to be cleansed from the material attachments. There is one lecture which I can almost remember verbatim, and I'm a terrible rememberer person. I can't, my memory is not very good. But it's Prabhupada talks about tests. And he discusses a meeting with Narada Muni and Lord Krishna about tests. Narada Muni comes to Lord Krishna and says, in a sarcastical voice, "Sir, sir, by becoming your devotee, life gets very easy. Look at the Pandavas. They are one of your greatest devotees. They lost their wife. They were exiled in the forest. Becoming your devotee is very good, you know." And then Narada Muni's voice changes. "But I see that despite these severe tests, the love and affection of your devotees for you only increases." Then Prabhupada again speaks, "Sir," addressing Krishna, "sir, sir, what kind of hypnotism do you have over your devotees? You have hypnotized that they don't react in a normal way, you know." When Yudhishthira Maharaj, who is one of these devotees, discusses this in Briha Bhagavatamrita, he says, I believe it is, who is it who praises him? Hanuman. "Oh," he said, Hanuman says, "you are such a great devotee. Krishna protected you in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and he washed the guests' lotus feet at the Raja Suya offering. He is so much the servant of the Pandavas." Yudhishthira says, no, don't not say it like this. If people hear about what we went through, they will not like to become Krishna's devotees. Then Hanuman turns to Arjuna, but the Lord explained the Gita for you. Yes, but he did this only because I was so stubborn that I would not fight. Therefore, he needed to be at the most inopportune time before the action. He needed to take half an hour or so away from his schedule and just preach to me that I would surrender. This is my glory. So yes, the devotees are very attached to Lord Krishna, and they see him and the workings of him. They see this in a different light. Yes, and they are tested. Yes, but they see the tests really. My point is, they see the tests in a different light. The light in which all of us should one day see tests. All the tests, everything which Krishna does in our lives is really for our benefit. And the devotee should see like this. We may not now, all of us may not have their prime time. Is that a good word? I mean the best time in their devotional lives. And we may go through some difficulties. The way we have to see these is ultimately Krishna's mercy. It's not easy to see it like this. I would like to offer you an example. I so much wish really to preach. But Krishna, to preach on a big things, television, and per evening 10,000 people, because there was a time where Krishna gave this in devotional service. At the moment, I'm a German-bound preacher, and you don't hear any big news in the ISKCON community, because it's very tough. It's very tough to go through this. But in a way, I have to think now. This is also Krishna's mercy that you are not getting what you wish in his service, because he wants to purify you and see that you want to serve him only for his sake and not for the success and the good news in the ISKCON World Review. Sometimes this is the way the Lord chooses to deal with the devotees. And I'm an insignificant devotee. The other German devotees, they who work so hard, and we have So many nice devotees, you will see when you visit them. Very nice, who keep all this very hard working, but it's very hard for them. Yeah? Krishna sometimes gives us these tests, and he wants that we fall under his hypnotism. That we, yes, we come to the conclusion, Krishna, it's your mercy. This is what I admire very much in Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's reaction to his difficult physical situation. He says one of his realizations is that this is the mercy of Krishna. It's very difficult, he says. He's very much in physical pain, but he says, I'm now learning to become fully dependent on Krishna. This is his realization. There is no planning if there will. He said, I used to travel all over the world. Now my travels is the sofa, the bed, and the bathroom. That's my round the world ticket at the moment. But that is what Krishna has given me. And that must be for my purification. And this is how a devotee who advances sees his life. But as we don't, as we are not yet so advanced, tests come also, and we sometimes despair. Sometimes. It sometimes happens. Hare Krishna. Good. our Kadamakana Maharaj, do you have some words of wisdom for us? Something from your perspective, maybe? It's very nice to hear, you know. Let us hear our Maharaj. We will give his microphone so that... give him. No, so you always have something spontaneous, please. Something, some words of wisdom.
Well, you told us about the Changa, and we have also encountered sometimes this aspect in spiritual life. And it was very intense, and one learns in suffering, in the face of distress, and of course we would like to learn the other way. And you spoke about these roots. That was your solution, wasn't it? So to avoid the Changa, then Mother Jayabhadra pointed out, sometimes you may still get the Changa. And I'm remembering here Dayananda Maharaj, who prayed to the Lord and said, "My dear Lord, please purify me gently." And it struck a chord with me. You know, I also these days feel more inclined that way. But what can we do in the age of Kali? I guess the age itself is a bit of a changa. Yeah? The whole age is like designed like that. That I'm afraid that my expectations of a very beautiful, harmonious spiritual life are not so high. Yeah? I found that, of course, my life is my particular situation. Others have their own. But in my life, I didn't encounter the harmonious life I was dreaming of. Right? And I don't see it so much happening to others also. And I'm each time so surprised when someone speaks, how much, when they reveal some intimate story, my God, they go like, such a severe dilemma in their life, and so many intense things happened, and I always thought it was just me. But then I realized that actually behind every face there is a whole story, right, of this Changa aspect of life. And so in a sense, I guess that helps to know that we're going through it together. I feel that I hope that in ISKCON we will grow and we will mature to together create some sort of shelter from all that austerity and hardship, and that at least we don't add to it, and that we'll together try to create as much as we can, a very supportive, favorable atmosphere. Because we are not so strong, and to take all this, to deal with austerity is very difficult actually. And the unasked for test, just like you're describing Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, it's super intense what Maharaj is experiencing. Removal of parts of the body is like death approaching, and it is such a condition, it is like, I certainly wouldn't want to trade place, right? Yeah. If I, you know, you think like, what if I would be in that position? I'd rather not. Right? I would rather had a very nice, gentle, supportive atmosphere, and then the kirtan, and then slowly fade away, kind of, without too much pain, if possible. So I feel that we depend very much on the shelter of the devotees, and I think that we would do a great service if we could become more aware of that, that we could offer shelter to each other. I feel that in this way, collectively, there could be a lot of growth, and we could make the roots of ISKCON deeper and stronger that way. And I think, as it is said, Durga me pati me indasya skalat padakatir muhu yat kripa swastidane na santa santavalambanam. Krishna Skavya's Goswami says, my path is very difficult. My feet are slipping again and again. But by the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas for my support, I can continue on the spiritual path.
Thank you very much. Hare
Krishna.
Yes, thank you very much. These were much needed words of wisdom. Thank you very much. You spoke very, very nice on, yes, what we can do. Krishna, we wish you a nice journey. We hear that you're leaving us today. Hare Krishna. Yes, I think we have reached our time. I wish you a wonderful day in Krishna consciousness. No jhangas. Not the smarts. And Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Radha Gopinath ki jai, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.